God, for our heroes, and for those who are on the battle lines as we worship the Lord today. How should we respond in the times that we face today? A lot of uncertainty, a lot of unknowns. But I want you to know that our God still reigns. Our God is still sovereign. And our God still has the final answer. Amen. So cling to Him, look to Him, read about Him, listen to Him, and obey Him. How should we respond? We're unsure about which direction our country goes. But we can rest assured that as long as we take the hand of the One who died for us, we'll be all right. Michael Cate, pastor of those folks that put on the films, many films that we have seen, he spoke this week and he said, "Wildfires, hurricanes, tornadoes, floods, chaos, confusion, hatred, racism, angry politicians, compromised preachers, apathetic churches, abandoned children, sex trafficking. I believe I've given us enough reasons to repent and pray for revival and stop stuttering." Hello. Franklin Graham this week, in a prayer service that we watched, "As our country is in trouble, and God is our only hope. America as we know it will not survive unless God's people call on His name and ask for His intervention. I'm here to tell you that any politician can tell you that I'm here to heal the land. No, he's not. Hello. He can't heal this land. Only God can heal this land. Until God's people get on our knees and humble ourselves before Him and call out to Him, then our land will be healed." Amen. Will you commit to fervently pray for our nation and for its leadership? The battle rages between good and evil, not red and blue. How should we act and react and respond? Take your Bibles and turn to Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4, verses 1 through 11. Look at this battle that took place. "Then was Jesus led up into the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward and hungered. And when the tempter came to him, he said, If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. But he answered and said, It is written, Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Then the devil taketh him up into the holy city and setteth him on a pinnacle of the temple and saith unto him, If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, He shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. And Jesus said unto him, It is written, Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Again, the devil taketh him up into an exceedingly high mountain, and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world, and the glory of them, and saith unto him, All these things will I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me." Now look at this, folks. He answered him. He talked about the devil. But here he addresses him differently. "Then Jesus said unto him, Get thee hence, Satan. For it is written, Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Then the devil leaveth him. And behold, angels came and ministered to him. And so, Father, we come to you this morning. Lord, we got this word that's infallible and inerrant from you. That we can see clearly the battles of good and evil. And Father, there's those battles that's going on raging this morning, both for those watching and for those sitting here in our presence today. There's no secret from you. Lord, you're still sovereign. We still need you. God, we pray and cry out to you that our lives are changed, that we repent, we humble ourselves and pray before you for our nation, for our county, for our churches, and for the families in our county. God, that we would turn our hearts to you and allow you to lead us and guide us. And may your Holy Spirit equip us and empower us to get on the mission field, the battles before us, and to bring you honor and glory, to share the good news that you love them and that you gave your only Son for them. That whosoever will believe in you should not perish, but have everlasting life. Lord, I pray this morning that the words are spoken are from you, and that we hear them and we respond with yes. In Jesus' name, amen. In battles, there's always an offense and there's a defense. A few weeks ago, we looked at whose side you're on. Winning side or losing side, there's always two sides. One wins and one loses. If you look at the book of Matthew, the genealogy, even in the first chapter of Matthew, gives us names of previous battles where Satan tried to destroy, but God always prevailed. Amen. God always prevailed. If you look in Matthew chapter 1 there, if you would, look over there real quick. Just turn a few pages back to Matthew chapter 1. Look at verse 21. The battle had been raging. There had been a silence. And now there was proclamation. And he shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name, what? Jesus. There's power in the name of Jesus. For he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with the child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. And so it was. But you see, the battle began to rage even more. If you look at chapter 2, you find out that Herod got word of what was going on. And Herod had responded in a way that Satan wanted him to. In chapter 2, we find that Herod is extremely mad. And verse 1, now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem. The king was extremely mad, so what he wanted them to do is to go into the land where Jesus was being born and report back to him so that he would know where they was. He lied to these men to get his way. He lied to these men to see what they could find out. But they went. And in chapter 2, verse 16, we find that Herod, when he saw that he was mocked of the wise men because they didn't go back to him, was exceedingly wroth, and he was angry, and sent forth and slew all the children that were from Bethlehem and all the coast thereof, from 2 years old and under, according to the time which he had diligently inquired of the wise men. Satan wanted to destroy, so he killed all the children. But did he come under that? No, he did not. God prevailed. He did not win. Herod did not win this battle. Satan wanted to counter, to destroy, but God prevailed. Was Herod a bad king? Hello? You're okay to say yes in the Baptist church, okay? The Spirit of God moves on you. Raise your hands, shout. Amen. That's good. We're okay with that. All right? Herod was a bad king. Now I want you to know that studying history, that some people in Herod's day thought that he was a good king because he catered to their sinful ways. Hello? He catered to their sinful habits, their sinful ways. So he knew the popular vote around him. He knew what to say. He knew what to do. But I want you to know that as long as Herod thought that he was in control, he was not in control. He was being influenced by Satan, and he was just a conduit to inhabit what Satan wanted to do. But I want you to know that God prevailed and Jesus lived. Others in that day considered Herod a bad king. Those that were faithful followers thought that this king was corrupt. This king was a liar. This king was ego-driven, self-centered, and far from God. I want you to know that the battle is not with flesh and blood. It is a spiritual battle. We must seek God. We must listen and obey God in all things. And this is how we, as followers of Christ, should respond to what the battle is today. This is how we should respond in Ephesians chapter 6, where we're instructed to put on the whole armor of God. But prior to the putting on the armor of God, He gives us what we need to do. When He says in verse 12 of Ephesians chapter 6, "We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." So when we start attacking the flesh and blood, we're only getting to the root. We're getting to the circumstances above. We're not getting to the root. To get to the root, we must go spiritually. And that's go to God. See what God's Word says. Listen to what it's saying we should do. And follow what the Holy Spirit of God causes us to do. Now we can go and we can battle and do all those things and protest and do all those things. That's surface. But let me tell you where the spiritual battle. When we go into it and we individually find people who are without Christ, who are in sinful habits and held bondage to all these things that as followers of Christ that we hold true to, what God said was good is good, what God said is bad is bad. And we go to those individuals and we love on them and we share the love of Jesus Christ with them and their lives are changed. Some of these things will not be in business anymore if Christians begin to do what we're called to do. The church will be filled. The abortion clinics will be empty. Y'all okay with that? Well, let's get on the battlefield and go to work. Praise be to God. He wants to hear from us. He wants us to take this battle into a spiritual realm. Just as Jesus was in the battle and showed us how we should respond. Do you notice that this, when Jesus was tempted, when He went into the wilderness to fast for 40 days, and when He was tempted, this is just after He was baptized? Do you believe that somebody that just gave their life to the Lord Jesus Christ and followed him through believers' baptism. Do you believe that that next day that Satan was on attack and they were getting to get into a battle? That they're tempted? Yes. When you take a stand and you step out of your comfort zone and you lean into what God wants you to do, you're in for a battle. Jesus was moved into the wilderness right after he was baptized. It says he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights and after he was hungry. Matthew points out both the barren desert, which Judean wilderness was, and Jesus' severe physical condition, such as a long fast. Can you imagine? 40 days fasting in the wilderness. Would you be hungry? If somebody waved a Krispy Kreme donut in front of your face, would you say okay? I would bite their fingers. I'm sure he had hunger pains. I'm sure that there was a weakness, but there was a divine power so miraculous upon Jesus Christ. Upholding the human nature of Christ without anything to eat, this was a miracle that his Father took care of and gave him the strength and gave him the words. It was supernatural, but not beyond human capacity because he had leaned into the Holy Spirit of God just as we should. Amen. Just as we should. 40 days and 40 nights is a familiar period of testing in the Bible, both in the days of Noah and Israel in the wilderness. Jesus will succeed where Israel as a nation failed. Our Savior, Christ, was tempted all 40 days though. You know, we tend to think that he was just tempted in his last three temptations, but no. Jesus was tempted the whole time. And these last assaults were very severe. He caught him in his point of most weakness, and Satan knows each one of our weaknesses. And he knows where to get us and when to get us, and when to tempt us. And that's what he was doing with Jesus in these three temptations. This wasn't self-denial just for the sake of self-denial. Or worse yet, for the sake of building a spiritual pride. This was a period of forced dependence upon God the Father to rely upon Him. How should we respond? Know God's Word. Write that on your heart. Write it on your notebook. Write it on your Bible. Write it on your mind. Know God's Word. And respond to God's Word, because it is alive and it's powerful and it speaks into our lives today. Here's what you need to do. You can do this on your hand. H-E-A-R-T. And I'm going to give you what that is. Be in God's Word daily. Hear God's Word. Examine God's Word. Analyze God's Word. Remember God's Word. And this part right here, apply God's Word. So now you've got hear, examine, analyze, remember, and apply. H-E-A-R-T. Think on God's Word. Apply it to our lives. What's the context of what's being said to me? How is God speaking into my life today? And how is the Holy Spirit guiding me to act on what I've just read and studied? We must be battle ready. Filled with the Holy Spirit of God and responding to what God's Word says. It is very apparent that our country is in deep bondage to sin. When a reporter gets on the news and shows what's going on, the celebrations that's going on, and the language that's being used, and the signs that's being used. And he reported, these people are wearing masks, but they're sharing the same champagne bottle. And the aroma is deep in marijuana. They need Jesus. They need Jesus. Look, if you would, Matthew chapter 12. Matthew chapter 12. Hope you got your Bibles. Man, it's so important to be in God's Word today. Matthew chapter 12, beginning of verse 25. And Jesus knew their thoughts. If He knew their thoughts then, does He know our thoughts this morning? Does He know the thoughts of people that's watching this morning? Oh, yes. He knows whether we're tuned in or tuned out, doesn't He? Amen. And He said unto them, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation. And every city or house divided against itself shall not stand. And if Satan cast out Satan, he is divided against himself. How shall then this kingdom stand? And if Beelzebub cast out devils, by whom do your children cast them out? Therefore, they shall be your judges. But if I cast out devils by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God is come unto you. Or else how can you, one, enter into a strong man's house and spoil his goods, except he first bind the strong man, and then he will spoil his house. He that is not with me, get this, he that is not with me is against me. And he that gathereth not with me scattereth abroad. Amen. I want to be with Jesus. I want to be on His side. I want to do what He wants me to do. I want to go where He wants me to go. And I want to say what He wants me to say. I want to abide so close with Jesus during these days. I want to finish well. I want to share the love of Christ with others. I don't want to be mean. I want to be loving and kind and generous. But I want to call it when it's called. If it's wrong, it's wrong, and I'll call it. I pray you stand that way as well. Verse 31. Wherefore I say unto you, all manner of sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven unto men, but the blasphemy against the Holy Ghost shall not be forgiven unto men. Those who deny the Lord Jesus Christ will be condemned. They're not on His side, and they will not win. Satan has assigned demons to follow each of us. He knows your weaknesses. And He knows what buttons to push. Hello? You got people in your life who knows how to push buttons? Well, I'm going to tell you, Satan knows exactly what buttons to push. And he knows when to push them. No matter who is president, no matter who rules the Senate House, as Christians, followers of Christ, God should rule our house. Amen. Render unto Caesar what is Caesar's, but when it comes to God's Word and God's standards and God's doctrines on how we should live, stand firm. Stand strong. Be in God's Word. Listen to what He tells you to do. Under the leadership and authority of God, we must rise up. We must daily work out in prayer and studying and feeding on God's Word. We must tap into the spiritual realm where God rules and reigns. In doing that means we must understand it. We must be confident in who He is. And Jesus Christ, folks, is greater that's in you than he that's in the world. Stand firm on that. Our line of defense is knowing God and knowing God's Word. That's how we should respond. There's a time to be in God's Word. And there's a time to pray. But then there's a time to act. We need to let the Holy Spirit of God, who is in the spiritual realm, direct us, lead us, guide us, use our mouths to speak through us. Today, you will again cast a vote. Oh my goodness, preacher, you want me to vote? Yes. Today you're going to cast a vote. You will make a choice. Your vote to confess and to believe in Jesus Christ as Lord, and then follow Him and serve Him and commit your life over to Him. Your vote would be yes. Or your vote is for Satan and his schemes to offer you the counterfeit life of this world, where his ultimate goal is to steal, kill, and destroy you. So your vote today is to spend eternity in heaven and have a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ while you're here, and to be empowered by the Holy Spirit. Or your vote is to take the counterfeit of this world, everything that it offers, the pleasures and the lies and those things, and spend eternity in a place of torment called hell. Cast your vote wisely, who you're going to follow. Cast your vote which side you're on. In our country, many people didn't vote. Those who don't vote for Jesus in His Word, by His Word, is against Him. And they vote no to Jesus. Your vote counts. Your eternity destination is in the balance. Everyone watching, everyone here present, you can be assured your vote most definitely will be accounted for. I believe that the Spirit of God today is calling out to each of us, every one of us, in some way, some fashion this morning. Some sideline, bench-sitting, dusty Bible Christians today is being called to rise up, to get into God's Word, to get the battle ready, and to go make disciples. Some right now have been probably asking to yourself, what's my purpose? What happens if I die? The Holy Spirit is drawing you right now to admit your sins, believe in Jesus Christ, and confess Him as Lord of your life today. Some followers of Christ have drifted away into the ways of the world and accepted the lies of the world. And God's calling you today to repent and turn back to Him. Some have family and friends that your heart's broken because of where they are today. Families are broken today. Have we got so prideful that we won't move out of our pew and humbly bow before a holy and just God and cry out to Him? How will you respond to what God's wanting you to do this very time? Father in heaven, anoint this time, O God, that Satan will not use any battle strongholds to convict and to get us out of our prideful ways, to worry about what other people think or what other people may say, but instinctively listen to the Holy Spirit right now, prompting us to do exactly what You're calling us to do right now. Some are in need of salvation. Some are in need right now to repent and turn back to You. Father, today, work on our hearts. Change us. Bring salvation this very time. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Would you stand, please? I'm very confident as you talk to God, He'll listen. But He'll also talk to you as well. Please listen. Pray that the Holy Spirit of God leads us and guides us. In the following days, may we listen to Him and obey Him. Wherever He leads, we'll go. Is that true?
Amen.
Are we willing to say what He wants us to say? If it is, we'll change our county. There's a lot of hurting families right now in our church. I'd ask you to pray for them. A lot of families are confused right now as well. There's a lot of depression. There's a lot of addictions going on. A lot of brokenness. Listen to the Spirit of God and obey. Veterans, again, thank you. May God richly bless you. Please, please, veterans and spouses, please go back to the adult hall and decorations, they've done well. The food is extraordinary. Please take a meal and thank you for your service. It's a beautiful day to be in the house of God, to have you here with us, and an opportunity for those watching. We can pray for you about anything or help you in any way. Please contact us and let us know. We love you. We want to serve our Lord with you. And to Him only be the honor and the praise. Amen. Amen. So as we dismiss this morning, I'm going to ask Tom Nelson if he would lead us in prayer. And if you've got your tithes and offerings, I did forget. Get your tithes and offerings on the way out. The plates are here and in the back as well. As well as I think there's still a few of the Billy Graham prayer guides, 30-day prayer guides for our country that are available on some of the tables. So please feel free to pick those up. As well as Samaritan shoeboxes are coming in. We need those in by at least Thanksgiving, so please bring those back in. Okay? Tom.
Thank you for each and every time that you did for each other. Father, we thank you for this word today that we've heard, and we ask, Father, that it'll lay upon our hearts and minds as we go our separate ways, that we carry you to come along with us. Father, we ask now that you bless us, guide us, and direct us to bring us back again in Jesus' name. Amen.
God bless you.